And we are in the Mishnah, and then we'll have to switch to the Gemara. We're in the Mishnah where it says V'lo yeyuk lokeach. V'lo yeyuk hiroko sadeh. That should be the bottom of the Yud Ches Min Aleph, the last line. V'lo yeyuk hiroko sadeh. You see that? Last line. My little ayin. Lo yelokeach hiroko sadeh mocha b'shuk. One should not buy, collect vegetables in the field and sell in the marketplace during Shemitah, even if they're not tzvichin, of course. Avu locate, but he can collect, and anybody else, and even ubno, mocha yado can sell for him. Lokach la'atzmo b'hosir, if he collected for himself and he left over Shemitah fruit, so since he didn't collect with the intent of making business, Mutal Malchon, subsequently he can sell them. Okay, now let's turn to Gemara. This is what's really hard to find. This is on Yud Tesimah base. On Yud Tesimah base, no, it's not so hard to find actually. The third line down, by the little Aleph. See that little Aleph that was put there for us? Lo you tani, there's no tani. You don't have you have tani actually. The line before, right? Tani. Lo yech lo you chamisha malakin yerek ve'echad mocher. Now this is ruses. Now I have to make the ruse. Try and find a legal loophole that five should collect vegetables and appoint as partners and appoint somebody else to be the designated seller. Because then this is trying to employ a loophole that the five guys are using this one guy to sell, but really they're all partners, so this is basically the same as sort of any other Mekach Menkar Drig Shemitah. Ava Mocher Ushalo V'shal Chaveiro, but you can sell your own stuff and your friend's stuff when you're not partners. Now, here it's an interesting thing which he says here, that this is talking about really your own stuff you're not supposed to collect to sell. But they're one of the major loopholes which you have in Shemitah, which we do employ Lach L'maisa, is the heter of Havloah. Havloah means if what that I'm making a profit is not apparent. So that's okay. Now the classic case of that, which is a joke, but we use it anyway, is that when Sukkos after Shemitah year, so you're really not allowed to buy the Esrog. Because the Esrog is Kedusha Shvius, and you're not allowed to do business in Kedusha Shvius, right?
Yeah, but then you don't know when it was harvested.
No, but it goes after Lakita and Esrog. Because they're chonate at different times. So it goes after Lakita when it was harvested. The assumption is it was harvested during the Shemitah year. So the thing is that what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to buy the box, or buy the lulav. Right? And that's Havloah, because the cost of the Esrog is absorbed in the cost of the lulav over the box. Problem is that the sellers say, yeah, sure, whatever you say, right? But they have no real serious intention of keeping the halacha. But hypothetically speaking, that's the way the sale is supposed to be affected, and that works because of the concept of Havloah. So as long as it's not apparent that I'm making money off the deal, that's okay. So here too, the same thing applies. If I'm selling for another guy, not as a partner, just as a favor to him, which is okay. I'm not doing schayer my own fruit. They could also sell my own fruit along with that through the heter of Havloah. Okay? So says the Gemara, Chamisha Achim Malaktim, when five brothers collect, but they're not partners. These are not brothers or partners. And one of them is selling for them, one of the brothers is selling for them, it's okay. And we don't make it like a Marisayan prohibition. We just let it go. Rabbi Yossi Barbun, as long as they don't set up a store. Because then it's too big a joke, right? What does it mean that they shouldn't set up a store? They shouldn't have a designated time and place in which to sell. Even if they don't have a designated place, if they have a designated time, that in and of itself is sufficiently significant that it makes a prohibited during Shemitah. So the bottom line is that one cannot come into a situation where the ruse is too great and everybody understands that there is a, you know, it's a joke, and that to such an extent it's prohibited. Okay?
Shemitah Exchange Incorporated.
Shemitah Exchange Incorporated, right. Okay? Tanya, we learned. A chenvani, a storekeeper, who is cooking vegetables during Shemitah. Now, you shouldn't have the knack of this now. What can he charge for? What can he not charge for? He's cooking Shemitah. Charge for the price of, for the service of cooking, but he can't charge for the vegetables. Right. You can't consider, reckon your reward for the vegetables. But he can count, say, putting wine or shemen as, you know, as spices or as cooking oil. Valavtola. And avtola literally means that which he would have taken to remain idle. Meaning, this fancy way of saying the work which he did, the labor.
The fuel.
Right. Fuel too. Rabila mefakid ilan chaltogaya. Rabila commanded those people who would boil vegetables, reckon your wages on the oil, which was from Shemitah, elachitaya, but rather on the grain, which came from Chutzlar, so it was 6 year grain, and that's the same principle which we're saying here. Okay, now go back to the Mishnah again. Last time for this Mishnah. All the way at the end of the Mishnah. Which means on Yud Ches Amud Beis. Lokach. Lokach Bechor. The second line in the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis. Amud Beis. Mrs. Zucker, Amud Beis. Okay. Lokach bechor lemishtah beno. If you bought a bechor, your kohen, let's say, and you bought a bechor for your son's chasna, or a regel, or for yontif, lo tzarech, or you don't need a bechor, mutul mocher, allowed to sell it to others. Tzide chayav ofos v'dogim, hunters who hunt down, obviously trap is a better word, the wild deer or birds or fish, sheis damla mina tmeim, who came across stuff which was tomei, mutar l'machon, they're permitted to sell them. Af mishinismanelo, such a Jewish answer. Yeah, you've gotten this into me already. The bottom line thing, it's your fault. Af mishinismanelo, if a guy can make a killing in pork bellies. In other words, he's got a real, real metzia deal on pork bellies. Fidaiko just happened across it. He's allowed to buy and sell it. As long as it is not his ongoing occupation. The Chachovi forbid that. Okay?
There's no letter there. Now this
seems like it's okay.
Now this bechor that the kohen is selling,
yeah,
this has nothing to do with Shemitah, is it?
No, but these are prohibited buying and selling. We're spilling out into other prohibited buying and selling activities. Okay, now go back to the Gemara. So you start Tamatina by the two dots, right? So it says I'm a Tamatina. I have Rabbi. You have Rabbi Huda here.
Yeah, we do.
Right. I have Rabbi Shimon. This is a little bit the lashon here is somewhat messed up. Korinosam means they only gave the appellation of posel edus. In other words, that they cannot testify in a court of law to those, to those. Here elo does not mean only. Here elo means also to. Okay, do not be confused. Here elo means also to. They gave it both to people who collect during Shvi'is and to people who sell during Shvi'is. Osvei Shvi'is means those who collect the actual harvest, and Sochrei Shvi'is are those who who make business. Now the Osvei Shvi'is also sell, okay, but they sell what they collect themselves. Sochrei Shvi'is are people who actually have a exchange business in Shemitah. Mishirabu Anosim, once there were many goyim who compelled Jews to work during Shemitah, Chazuli Kreisim, they only gave the appellation of Poseidus to Sochrei Shvius, to people who made their living off Shvius fruit, by people who were compelled to harvest the fruit from their field and sell that. That they said they were not Poseidus because they were being compelled by the bandits or by the government, perhaps even to do that during Shemitah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, even the Sochrei Shvius, even those people who are making their business off Shvius, exchange and sale. But when is the apostle? Amosai bisman she'ein lo umnus elohi, when this is only trade. Aviyesh lo umnus elohi, but if he has any other trade or raise a kosher, his kosher leidus. Hey Chavido. Now we're going to have two possibilities of this. Hey Chavido. What are we talking about? Hayoshi Ubato. In other words, what kind of socher is considered to be uniquely involved in Shemitah fruit and therefore is Poseidus? Hayoshi Ubato Mimlachto Kosh Neshvor. All the 6 years of Shemitah, he doesn't do any work. Kam Shemitah, Kam Shemitah, that's when he kicks into gear. He extends his hand, literally, Vinose, and he starts doing business with Peros Aveiro and fruit, which is the fruit of sin. If during the Shemitah year, he has some other line of work, kosher. Vilav is not possible. But let's say he did have a legitimate line of work the rest of the 6 years. When Shvius came, he decided to change. He changes occupations. And he starts stealing in fruits of aveir. Even though he doesn't have any other melacha during Shemitah itself, kosher. Why? Because of the rest of the years. The rest of the years, he's involved in a legitimate occupation. So here, the Kavanoki says a big Kiddush. I don't know if it's true, but he says it's talking about a guy specifically whose regular occupation is not relevant during Shemitah. Let's say he's some sort of farm, hand of some sort. So then there's a justification for him going solely and exclusively to some other occupation during Shemitah, and a libut tzchus that he's not all rotten, but he just didn't have anything else to do during Shemitah. But if his other occupation, say he's a chveis, a lawyer or a doctor or a school teacher, and he does that and he can do that during Shemitah, so then he has no excuse to go and do something else during Shemitah, so then this wouldn't apply. Then if he forsook, even if all the other six years he's constantly involved in his own occupation, since in Shemitah he's involved in exclusively in this occupation, Shemitah, whereas he could have well done what he normally does, so then we zap him, we say his postulatus. Okay, Rabbi Abba Barzavta, Rabbi Avobashir, Rabbi Loza said, look, Rabbi Yehuda the Masnisa, it looks like Yehuda in our Mishnah, that where you can according to the Bright, where the Brights explain it, that if he has no other malach, if he has other malach, he's still koshleidus. Iklus, Rabbi Abba Barzavta, the Omar Shmua B'Shem Zemene, and Rabbi Abba Barzavta was praised that he quoted Rabbi Avo, who was younger than he was, and this is a very nice sign of Anova, that he was willing to quote somebody younger than he. That's all one interpretation. Rabbi Chia Tani L'Chumra. Rabbi Chia learned this whole issue L'Chumra. Hey Chavida, how so? Hoya Yoshe Vosig Mlachto Kol Shnishvu is a guy who was working in his own trade all 6 years. He extended his hands, Lisa lit him pairs of air to dabble in matter and for fruits of sin. If he has another malacha during Shemitah, he must simultaneously be engaged in another malacha. Only then is he kosher. Being live during Shemitah, he's solely and exclusively involved in this dabbling in the fruit of Shemitah. Possible he's postulatus. Aval. What if he didn't have any work the rest of the Shemitah? And when Shemitah started, all he was doing is working at this fruits of sin. Then, even if he has another malacha, he's possible. is a super chumrah. In other words, if this, even let's say in the seventh year, he has another malacha. In other words, on the side, he's a chveis, you know, a train conductor. But besides being a train conductor, he's also doing peir shvias. That's no good. Why? Because he only woke up to find himself another occupation during Shemitah when he wants to cover up for his working in Shemitah fruits. So this is a much more rigid interpretation than the first one. So it's more lo bedah, not in this much more rigid interpretation, Rabbi Avivar of Zavdan, Rabbi Avos, Rabbi Shem, Lo Zalach, Rabbi Yudah, Mazdisa. No, this is much original interpretation. Tam on Rabbi Avivar Zavdah, Marshmu, Shem, Zermine. Says the Gemara, actually it's a question. It's being read like this. Lo bedah, Rabbi Avivar Zavdah, Rabbi Avos, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Lazar, Halok, Rabbi Mazdisa. Is it such case also the same thing? Says the Gemara, Tama Rabbi Avra Zavta, Amar Shmuel B'Shem Zimrine. Yes, possible. There Rabbi Avra Zavta said something in the name of somebody younger. Of Achakain, perhaps the statement was really going on this much more severe Shita. Amar Rabbi Yossi Arvun, Tama Eina Malchuson Nesna. Here the Gemara says a very interesting and very interesting reconciliation between the two Perushim. In Rabbi Yehuda, Taman ena machus onesis. Where do I say that we're much more severe with the individual? And if he had any even if he has another malacha with it, but that malacha he was mechadish during Shemitah, that is still that he's still postulatus. That's when the king that's when the king does not compel anybody to work. Where the king compels people to work, then we're much more lenient. Then we say, even if he only adopted this new malacha during Shemitah, so we still are much more lenient with him. And so to the other component, that even if he doesn't work the other 6 years, right? So then we said that if he doesn't work the other 6 years, according to the first shot, we said if he works the other 6 years, even in the seventh year, he completely devotes himself to Shemitah fruit, he's possible. He's still kosher. If, again, the other 6 years, he works legitimately. Even though in the Shemitah for a year, he completely devotes himself to Shemitah fruit, he's kosher, according to the first
pshat. It was the same kind of work.
What?
The first 6 years was the same kind of work as what he's doing now, except now the fruit is Shemitah fruit.
No. Oh yeah, well, according to what you call it, according to the Kavanaki's interpretation, yes, right. And according to the second shot, so that would for sure be possible in that case. So to say they're not arguing. First shot, which says he's kosher, is when the malchus is onesim, when he's compelled to work in it during Shemitah. The second shot is when the malchus is not onesim, he's not compelled to work, he's working on his own volition, so that's where he becomes possible
latest. Well, the malchus is onesim, by the way, he's not being reimbursed either.
Right.
There's a book written by Gedalia Ebal called The Jews in Their Land in the Time of the Talmud, where he uses references like this from Yerushalmi to paint a very bleak economic picture for the Jews post-Horba. For these hundreds of years that the Romans were ruling them, they basically were tsaris, financially, severe.
Okay.
The Kampanaki's example, isn't that the heter that caterers use nowadays, let's say on regular Shabbos, that they're doing the same?
Havla.
Yeah,
Havla is one of
the most of the
well, that's not the Kampanaki. No, the Havla, they don't do just Havla on Shabbos. They have to, they actually have the workers do some work on a weekday. There's some perhaps symbolic, but at least some work. So they use that's Yushami straight up, that they're Mavli and something else. Okay? Lulavi's halacha beis. Lulavi's radim. Lulavi's radim translate as hawthorns. You know what a hawthorn is? Nathaniel?
Yeah, it's
a kind of bush.
What is it?
Okay? It's something. We can say with definitiveness that it's something. So love is radim vacharuvi. Now we know they're carobs. Yeshlam shvius udmeim shvius. they have their Shemitah. If you exchange them for something, whatever you exchange for them is Shemitah. Yesh lehem biur, and they are at some point no longer available to the animals in the field. And therefore you have to eradicate them, or ledmeim biim, that which you exchange for them has to be eradicated. Levei Allah. Now, these are fronds, you know, branches from an oak tree. Vabitna, a pistachio tree. Va'atodin, a type of thorn. Yeshlam shviz, ledmeim shviz. They do have shviz. But the exception, ledmeim biur, ledmeim biur, because they're constantly available to the animals in the field, so there's no biur. Avola alin yesh biur, but the leaves do have biur, because leaves and seeds are edible in all these cases, and you have to at some point eradicate them from your house. Nation ocean may vain, because the leaves fall off the tree, and therefore there are times when they're no longer available to the animals. Says Amore, Beresh of the biur, at the beginning of the discussion in the Mishnah, not the beginning of the parak, the beginning of the discussion in the Mishnah, Atomer eno echlin al ikar, you said that you're not allowed to eat on the assumption that there's still some left on the tree. Al ikar means that there's still some touch left in the tree. Because Amar, and here yet by the pistachio and the oak, ochlin al ikar, you assume that there's stuff left in the tree and there's no need for beer. What's the difference between the two commodities? Rabbi Pinchas said, Tamon ain't sofon lahakshos. By the pistachio and the oak, whatever remains in the tree is never too tough to eat. So therefore, it's always available to the animal in the field. Gram hacha, but here by the hawthorns and the carobs, sofon lahakshos. At some point, whatever's left in the tree gets too tough to eat. Became chukshu nasuki veim. Once they get tough, they become like branches. And therefore, whatever edible fruit you still have in your house, you had to be in a var at that time. So say if you left carobs out on the tree, it seems that the carobs will get too tough to eat. So therefore, if you have edible carobs in your house, you have to be in a var there. Okay? B'tani, we learned. Kulan shenichnasu mishishis l'shvias, any of them which started growing in the sixth year and grew into the seventh year, are shishis, have that locha being part of the sixth year. Chutz min ha'adol, except for ha'adol, which here is called cress, but that should not throw you off. Generally speaking, whenever we don't know what something is, we call it a cress. Okay? Because there's so many different kinds of cresses. So, chutz adam neshir, because it's a vegetable, so therefore it follows the whenever it's collected, which would be here the seventh year. Rabbi Yochanan said, Leiskan mishishis l'shviyis. We're not going from the sixth year to the seventh year. Ela b'shviyis. Rather, the seventh year. Now, this is a strange thing we're saying here. That, the way that Kapanok explains it. Lulavim, with that which we're talking about in our Mishnah, these fronds or these palm branches, they're not generally considered to be eaten. They're not really edible material.
They're really considered to be like wood, until you designate them to be food. This is true also about grape branches and also reed branches. Now, so Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's not possible that they have a din of Meiser or Shvius when they are wood, and therefore they only become fixed to be whatever year they're affiliated with when you have the thought at the time of collecting them to eat. That's when they become food, and that's when it devolves upon them the Chiyuv of Meiser and Shvius. However, those who hold that this stuff can get the din of shishis hold that when at the time you collect them, you designate them for food retroactively, it becomes clarified that they're always food. And therefore, they become already considered to follow, let me rephrase that sentence, they follow the sixth year. In other words, the machlok is, since you have to designate these things as food, and you designate them in the seventh year, do they then become part of the seventh year? Or like anything which is food except for vegetables, do they go after the sixth year, which is the year in which their trees budded? Right? This is machlokas here. Rabbi Yochanan says, Leis Rabbi Avo, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, Leis kami shishis l'shviyis shishis. He says that if you start in the sixth year and went in the seventh year and then you had a thought, it's not affiliated with the sixth year, but rather it's affiliated with the seventh year. Okay?
Right. Shilas or the Hoover or Darvin Lamafre are not with you. Say Brera here or not. That's who it boils down to.
Says Gmore, Botani, didn't we learn? Haseo, Vaezo, Vakoranis.
All sorts of vegetables which grow right and wild in the field. Michel Vilan, once you brought them and planted them in your chotzer, that's when they received the halacha of become chayiv and maitzrus. Otherwise, it's considered to be hefker. But at that point, if it was the second year, which they had grown in the wild in the field the second year, and you planted them in the third year in your backyard, so then they have the status of shlishis. Mishishis lishvius shvius. And if you glad them the sixth year and replant the seventh year, they have a loch of shishis. So there you're counting back to the previous year, and here you have a tzad to say that you count after the subsequent year. What's the difference? Rabbi Yossi said shlishis v'shishis the third and sixth year. Even though there's no maizer sheni in those years, yesh bohem, they do have maizrus. So therefore, it's good to follow, the third year or the sixth year, which is the coming year. However, shvius emo maizrus kol ikar. The shvius is no maizrus, so therefore it's more of a chumrah if we throw it after the previous year and give it the status of shishis, because then you're going to have to take off tithes on it, and that's more of a chumrah. Says Gemara, loche, ask the kasha, lokein. I'm Rabbi Yavob, Shem Rabbi Yochanan, leis ka mishishish lushvies, shishis elushvies. Our question is really like this, because we see that there's a brice, I think, which says that... Rabbi Yochanan said, yeah, you follow the Shvius. Right. In other words, you don't say Uber Adarvel Mafreya. But the Kasha is, yeah, the Brights, which you just brought down a couple lines ago, said Mishishis L'Shvius Shishis. In other words, we got sidetracked. We asked the question, when do you count backwards and when don't you count backwards? Then we said, depends if it's a chumrah, because then it's going to be chayv and meiser, or not a chumrah. But the bottom line is that this price has said that if it goes in the sixth or the seventh year, in order to zap you with meiser, we say it's a shishis fruit. Well, that's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said if it goes from a sixth year to a seventh year, it's considered to be a shvius fruit, so it's a kash Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, located in Rabbi Yochanan, Leis ka mishishis l'shvius shishis elo shvius. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan said it doesn't go back to the sixth year, it goes forward to the seventh year. So I was worried to do this brisa. This is my very interesting answer. Taman b'shus violin. Lulavim, they don't grow as fruit. So therefore the Yanim don't really have any anticipation of receiving them. That's how we can say they go after the seventh year. Beram hacha, but fruit, which is what the Bryce is talking about, it's not real fruit, but it's secondary fruit, but nonetheless it's a kind of fruit. The Seo and the Ezov and Koranis, which are kind of vegetable, I should say. So Bishus Aniheim, the Ani is looking forward, anticipating getting them. Mutav litein le echod bivadai lo shnaim, well, The reason for that is because they grew to begin with in the guy's backyard. Mutav litein lo echad bevadai v'lo shnayim misafek. So therefore, we give the guy one meiser bevados, meaning we put it back to the previous year, and we don't give it to dinim misafek, because then if we made it safek shishis safek shvius, then he would end up getting nothing, because the guy would say, I don't know if I have to give it to you, so he's not going to give it to him. So therefore, since they're the Aniyim are anticipating getting the stuff, we say, let's give it to the Aniyim as if it's sixth-year stuff for sure. It's really just Misafik, but when you give Misafik, we give it to the Aniyim. Okay? Alim Shekov Shanim Lulavin. you soak together or pickle together the alim, the leaves, which is in the Mishnah, do have a concept of biur, with lulavim, which don't have a concept of biur, because they're constantly in the tree, lulavim. Is tanoi tani ben elu ben elu yeshlem biur. So some tanoim said, in that case, both lulavim. What? Yeah. 6 o'clock. Still have time. If you have leaves which were again pickled with lulavin, so some say that both the leaves and the stalks have to be mevar, you know, because now they both got mixed together, because pickling together transfers taste back and forth, right? Is tani tani, there's some tanoi said, ben elu, ain't la beer. There is no beer. Because to transferring back and forth, according that would be a kula. Vis tani tanoi tani, there's some who said, even though they mix together, never the twain shall meet. Ali miesh la beer, you mevara the leaves. Vena mevara lulavim, ain't la beer, you're not mevara the lulavim. Now, manda mar yesh la beer, you says yesh la beer. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, we haven't seen this yet. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that when you have two types of vegetables which are pickled together, the Zman HaBir goes by the first thing. I would say, you have cucumbers pickled with tomatoes, and cucumbers, Zman HaBir is earlier. So you go by this Zman HaBir of cucumbers, not tomatoes. So that's that. So here the Rabbi says you have to be mevar both them. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Manamar Elan Bior, that's Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says that if pickles come, you have to pickle together cucumbers and tomatoes, and cucumbers come first and tomatoes come second, you go after the tomatoes. So here we extend that even further. We say since Lulavim have no Din Bior, that's it. The whole mixture doesn't have a Din Bior. The whole thing is exempt. And the view said yesh lem biur, only yesh lem biur, that you do biur on the leaves but not on the lulavim, that's Rabban Gamliel. And Rabban Gamliel's opinion is that each one retains its separate identity when you pickle the tomatoes and cucumbers together. So there too retain the separate identity. This is an amazing thing that Yerushalmi is saying. I don't know if it's going to become clarified later on, but here we're saying actually comparing a case in which you take the lowest common denominator, but both are chayv and biur, and saying here you take the lowest common denominator, and it could even exempt both of them from biur, which is a remarkable thing. I don't think we would ever, on our own, say such a tremendous chiddush, but say at least we chayv and biur from the time of the less severe thing. No, here we don't say that.
So no concept of bimino and min shein bimino.
No concepts. No concept. Yeah.
Or no same time.
It's not a bittle. It's not a bittle.
What form of a dover chashuv or what's is cucumbers more important than the other?
Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. Okay? Averet va'koifer. Yeah, going back to Mishnah, Locha Beis. Vered, roses. Yeah, 15 minutes.
How long?
15 minutes.
Yes.
Haver v'alkofer. If you have a rose, these are all different types of spices. Do you have the place? Averet v'alkofer is a different rose or another type of spice. V'aktaf, balsam. V'alotam, that's some other type of spice. So yeshlam shvius u'dmeim shvius. They have shvius and they're fruit. They're, if you exchange some of them and also shvius, it seems like they are considered to be fruit. Shumer ein l'ktaf shvius, balsam doesn't have shvius. Neshein opi, it's a sap. It's not a fruit. So it has no shvius. Okay? Says the Gemara, going back to the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Pdor, Rabbi Pdas, excuse me, Rabbi Yassi and son, Rabbi Yassi also Shem Rabbi Yochan, Ask Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, that which Rabbi Shimon says is sap, has no din shvi, it seems to be like Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanina Tzama we learned over there, Am Rabbi Yeshua, said, Shamati Shamamid B'Srach Valin, if somebody makes cheese through rennet made from the sap of leaves or the sap of the roots of an orla tree, mutter. Because orla is only an isser in the fruit. Okay? B'Srach HaPagim Osir. If you make the cheese with the Sraf HaPagim, with the sap of the fruit, it's also, it's forbidden, Mipnei Shu Pri. Why? Because that, of course, is the main orla component. So we see here that he owes the same thing. That sap is not considered to be part of the fruit. Now that's very sap of the tree, right? The sarf elan and sarf ekarin. Now that's very bad. The Gemara says, "Amalei Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Pedas, Rabbi Zira said to Rabbi Pedas, if that's the case, Kemod the Tamar Taman Aloch Rabbi Yeshua, we got a problem. There we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. That the sap of an orla tree is not orla. So the logic would dictate that you have to follow through and say here too Aloch Rabbi Shimon." That the sap of the tree has no shvius, but we know that's not true, because Chachamim are arguing around Rabbi Shimon on Yochik Rabbi Malachik Rabbi. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "V'dam Yohi, don't worry. You think it's similar? Kal Rabba, which is Yerushalmi talk for Ad Rabba. On the contrary, there's no similarity. Ketaf Batel Agabe Sarfo by a balsam." The sap is the main part of the tree. There is nothing else in a balsam tree. Balsam, I don't know. But in a balsam tree, there's nothing other than the sap. That is the tree. So therefore, it has peyer shvius. By orla, there are a whole bunch of other things in the tree. For the primary component of the tree is not the sap. There are many other primary components. Furthermore, vod, another etchiluk. Ochli behem, but by shvius, they're much looser definitions of what's considered to be a fruit. What's the proof of that? Ochli behema, animal fodder, kedusha shvius cholalein, as kedusha shvius. Vein kedusha cholalein, even though there's no arlan animal fodder. So therefore, the other parameters are much more strict. Do we have? Okay, one more minute. 6 o'clock. I have 1 minute to six. Amar Rabbi Avun, Isla Chori, you have yet another answer. Shomer min Shmua, Rabbi Shua is saying a statement that Loch Lamoshe Misinai, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shem Garmi, Rabbi Shimon is saying it on his own. Yes, Shmua is a Loch Lamoshe Misinai. Or a tradition, I guess. I don't know. I take that back. He had a tradition from previous generations. Okay. You know what? Let's stop here then for today. We'll come back to this tomorrow. Okay.
You're on Chaf Amud Aleph.
A little bit to go in the.
A little bit to go, okay. But the Mishnah. But first in the Gemara. Before we'll go back to Mishnah in a second. But let's find my place here. Yeah, Ma Sorof. An Chaf Amud Aleph. Oh, sorry.
Chaf
Amud Beis. Sorry. Ma Sorof. Somebody else is here. Chaf Amud Aleph, that's him. Ma Sorof. somewhere here. Let me see. It's hard for me to see upside down. Yeah. Leader of words, not sorrow. That's why. That'll do it. In Tamar, you have here. Here, from here. Sarah, Omar Law. Sarah Puz. Oh, no, Shame. Okay. Omar Law Sarah. Yeah. From there. Chafal from Ralph. Okay. Omar Law. Sarah Perry or Pagin Perry we said yesterday Nala to make cheese, to curdle milk with the sap from Orla fruit. So the question is the sap a fruit, or is the fruit itself the fruit, not the sap? What's the difference? In Tamar Sarah Pri, if you're going to say that the sap itself is considered part of the fruit, so then it also came with Truma Osir. Then if you use Truma to curdle your milk, so then the milk becomes Osir, receives the status of Truma. In Tamar Pugin Peri, if you're going to say, however, that the fruit itself, here, the unripe fruit, is the fruit, and the sap is just a byproduct, so then also can have used Truma fruit, the sap from an unripe Truma fruit, to curdle your milk, then mutter, the milk is mutter. Why is that? Because then I would say it's not the fruit itself, it's a byproduct of the fruit. It's hanoah from the Truma. And therefore we say, Lama Shanoyas Truma Muteris Manoyas Arla Asura. Hanoah from Truma is permitted, even though Hanoah from Arla is prohibited. So therefore, if you use the sap of an unripe fruit and it was Arla, that would render your cheese Osir, because you had Hanoah from a derivative product of Arla. But if in fact sap is only a derivative product, and you use the sap of a Truma fruit to curdle your milk, so then that's okay. You can actually use the cheese because hanoah from a byproduct of the truma is perfectly okay.
Okay, so there's a distinction between the arla and the truma.
That's right.
Even though they both have byproducts or tolotas or whatever.
Right. They have a byproduct. All are also banah, whereas... Well, the other thing is not.
So it doesn't resolve the question of whether the sap is an actual
right.
fruit.
We don't resolve it, but that would be the ramification. If the sap is the fruit, then it's also, then it would make the cheese truma, right? Because then it's the actual fruit. And we don't resolve this whole issue. Okay, now let's go back to the Mishnah. There's a little piece left in the Mishnah. Veret Chadash. A new rose. Where is that? All the way at the bottom of your Tesson base?
Alright, yeah.
Gerard Chodesh, you have that? Yeah, Gerard Chodesh, yeah. The second of the wide point. Okay, Gerard Chodesh, Shekov Shabashem and Yoshan. You had a rose from the seventh year. And you put it in oil from the sixth year, in order to make the oil good fragrance, to use as perfume. When the time for beer comes of the rose, you lock it as a verd. You have to take out the rose and do beer on it. But the oil, even though it received taste, or I should say, you know, fragrance. Of the vered, nundle of the rose, you don't have to do beer on the rose. And the Gemara is going to ask why not. Because it's not a lot. The rest of the Mishnah, in fact, does not follow that principle. From here on in, v'yoshan b'chadosh, it was vice versa, for instance, if it was a rose from the sixth year, which got mixed into oil of the seventh year, so chai beer, then not only do you have to do beer on the oil, you also have to do beer on the rose, because the rose absorbed the oil, the olive oil, which is seventh year olive oil. So if you have to do beer on the...
Yeah, you have to be on non-edible.
Well, yeah, as long as it can be used for fragrance. Well, here, verit is edible, right?
Oh.
It is an edible product. It's a machol, some machol adam, some machol behemo, but this is, okay. It is an edible product. Okay? But yashim v'chadosh chai bebiyon, if it's an old rose in new oil, it's chai v'beer. Similarly, charuvin chadoshon, If you pickled old carobs in new carobs of 7th year and old wine of the 6th year, Eishan b'chadosh, old carobs of the 6th year and wine of the 7th year, chavim v'biur, then everything is chayv and biur because they both absorb from each other. This general principle: koshu nosim nositam, anything which imparts a taste, chayv levayir, you have to biur min b'sheino mino. If it's one type and another type, since they absorb back and forth from each other, you have to biur. Umin b'mita b'koshu. And if you have one echves, let's say carob, among 1,000 carobs, and that one carob is a carob which requires biur, so you have to be mevar all of them. It's like Darvish Shishlo Matirin. It's not botel because you have very easy resolution to the issue, which is to do biur on all of them. So therefore, in that case, you have to biur on all of them. Can't leave any of them. Hashvi'is oseres kol. You don't have anything else in the Mishnah? Hashvi'is oseres kosher b'mina. Shvi'is asers anything which is, in general, the same idea. Shvi'is asers anything which is of its own type. But shlo b'mina, if it's not of its own type, in other words, if it's apples and oranges as opposed to apples and oranges, apples and apples, then it should be no sin time. It has to give a taste, a flavor, and then it asks the thing in which it gives the flavor. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Hocha atamar yilaki desverit. You see hocha?
Yeah.
Hocha atamar yilaki desverit. Here you say you collect in the ratio. You said you collect the rose, and that you do beer on the rose, and not on the oil. Why not? At the end of the subsequent in the Mishnah, every substance which is pickled in another substance, we say both substances absorb back and forth. So why in the ratio do you not say that? Says more Rabbi Avo, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, train tanoinin. There are two separate tanoim in our Mishnah. The Tano made the first statement in our Mishnah that if you have a rose of the 7th year in oil of the 6th year, that you don't have to do beer on the oil, only on the rose. That's not consistent with the rest of the Mishnah. That's a separate Tana, in fact. Not the Tan of the rest of the Mishnah. Rabbi Zira said, Yocho hana potel betray pache. I can say that resolve this issue by saying that the Mishnah taught you on two planes. Verit chodesh kovsho b'shem and yoshon. First it talks about a new oil, new rose and old oil, meaning Vered shel shviyis shekovsho b'shem and shoshishis. The rose is a 7th year rose, and it's pickled in 6th year oil. In that case, we'll have to do beers on the rose. But here's where the difference is. The yashim b'chodesh, what does it mean, a new old one and a new one? That's a vered shel shviyis, a vered of the 7th year, shekovsho b'shem and shoshminis, where you kovish in this oil the 8th year. Now, in that case, we say, very interesting thing. This story about a Shemitah rose in which you never did beer. You didn't do beer on it. So since you didn't do beer on it, so therefore, at the time you pickled it in the oil, it already was Isser. It was Osser. So then it becomes Osser like any other Isser, like Chazer, right? You still have an Eitz to beer on it, but until you do that, it's considered to be an Isser, and it Ossers the oil. So it is saying here, this Tana holds that where you put a mixture together of saying chayv and beer and saying not chayv and beer prior to beer, so you just remove the thing which you have to beer on and you revire it. Where afterwards, where you put the something which is chayv and beer in with a mixture with something else after the chayv and beer, so now it's much more of a bona fide iser. And therefore, in that case, not only do you do beer on the substance which should not be on, but even be on the other permissible substance. Okay, that's how he learns our Mishnah. Okay, let's start the new parak. Klal gadol lomar b'shvi'is. They said a major principle by Shemitah. Kam yuchad l'machal adam, anything which is specifically designated to be to for human consumption, you can't make from it a bandage for a person, some sort of salve for a wound. You certainly can't make for it a salve for an animal. Anything which is not specifically designated for human consumption, you're allowed to make from it a bandage for a person, but not for an animal. Anything which is not designated neither for a person's teeth nor for an animal's consumption. What if you then designate it for human consumption or for animal consumption? Then it receives the halacha shmita, and nosim alav chumrei adam, you give it the stringencies which are applied to that which is eaten by a human being, and stringencies of that which we eat by an animal. Now, chishul of keitim, what if you harvested something and you designate it to be wood? Reu keitim. It never doesn't receive the status of kedusha shvius. It remains like wood. Kigon, what falls in this category? Hasio, and that's a spice called savory. Va'ezov, it's a spice called hyssop. Va'koran is a spice called thyme. All these spices can also be wood. So therefore, it depends what your intent was when you harvested it. Okay, Gemara. Raibum bar chia boy kumi Rabbi Zira. Raibum bar chia asked in front of Zira. Ochli adam v'ochli bein mahim b'parsha. It says in the Parsha Shemitah both the issue of that which is fit for human consumption and that which is fit for animal consumption, both being susceptible to Shemitah. My chomitz meimar, what did you see to say that ochli adam enosei mehem melugma, that those things which are for human consumption, you do not make from them bandages, whereas those things which are fit for animal consumption, osei mehem melugma, you do make from them bandages. What's the difference? Amar lei, so he said, this is the difference. That which grows in the Sabbath of the land should be for you to eat, meaning stuff which you normally eat, human beings, so that must be saved for the purpose of eating. It cannot be used for the purpose of anything else, including not for bandages. Okay? Miate, this is an exclusion. Ma miate, you probably just have the word miate, right?
No.
Oh, you have the whole statement? Miate, ma miate. Ochli adam she'eno simen melugma teaches us that which is fit for human consumption you cannot make fit a bandage. Ask the Gemara, umiyate ochli beima, where does it say that that doesn't apply to that which is for animal consumption? On Rabbi Barchia, ainat madrash, you don't ain't the medrash, you don't make this medrash. Now, this means that the lachem must stand. It says lachem, which is an exclusion. So if we're going to use that lachem in any way, shape, or form, it has to give an advantage to machal adam over machal behema. Now that which is for human consumption has a higher degree of restriction than that which is for animal consumption. So therefore, even if you want to say that machal behema has restrictions on it, it can't have the same degree of restriction as machal adam, as that which is for human consumption. Therefore, by definition, we're going to have to give that which is suitable for human consumption a higher priority. The higher priority you give it is that you can't use it to make bandages.
And what about bandages for an animal?
That we're going to learn. We're always going to actually discuss that. Okay? It says in a few lines. Rabbi Yossi lo amar kein. Rabbi Yossi didn't say the drasha this way. Rather, he said the drasha a different way. Ela v'aitzer shabbos so it's lachem lochla. That which the land produces during its Sabbath should be for you to eat. Miet. This is an exclusion. Lav decha ulamoscha. For your slaves? That's another miyate, another exclusion. Miut achamiut. One exclusion, then another exclusion. That's a ribui. What is the concept of marbi here? What does it come to include? L'rabos ochli behema shos men beluma. It comes to include that which...
It says
ochli adam.
Yes.
No, it's a mistake, though. Can't be. L'rabos ochli behema shos men beluma l'adam. Right, because it means that... You can use to make a melugma for a person, right? Kai domer Rabbun Barchil, like what Rabbun Barchil said, kol medrash ha'doresh v'shover medrash v'shon ein zeh medrash. Oh, I skipped a line. I'm sorry, no, I skipped a line. Let's say once we have an inclusion, since Ein Miyutach HaMiyutach L'Rabos, that includes that even Ochei Odom can be used to make bandages as well. No, because then again I have that Lachem, which I must use to elevate Ochei Odom to superior status. And therefore, anytime you have a medrash which would damage the other medrash, you can't use that medrash, and therefore I have to give a superior status to Ochel Odom. Amar Rabbi Mas Matanya, and Matanya said, Kshemi Atita, he just learns it from logic, not from psukim. When you exclude from bandages, Ochel Odom Me'atita, you have to exclude human consumed food. Uksharavisa, when you include Ochei Beim or Visa, you have to include Ochei Beim, you have to include that which is the for animal consumption. You have to, I'm not sure. I think now, looking again, he says that, what he's saying is that, going on the Psukim. He's going on the fact that there's a Miutach HaMiut L'Rabos. He's saying logic dictates that it's only being Marbe. When it's including additional uses, it's including machal behema, that you can use it for human bandages. Why is that? Because in a philosophical perspective, human bandages are a superior use than feeding animals, right?
She's saving.
Right, because you're using it for human purpose, right. So therefore, it says logic dictates that if we have a riboy that allows more usage, it must be that ochle behema can be used as a malugma for Adam, which is a superior form of usage, rather than saying that Ochei Adam can be used for a malugma for Adam, which is a inferior usage because you're taking it down a notch from food to bandage. Okay, so bandage for humans is higher than food for animals. Now, Ochei Beima, what can we take do you have the place, by the way?
Yeah.
Ochei Beima. Food for animals. Ma'ala sos me'am tzavoyim l'adam. Can use it to make cosmetics for human beings. There should be a logic. Food which is fit for human consumption, from which you cannot make a bandage. You can't use it to make cosmetics. Animal food, from which you may make a bandage for human being. You certainly should be able to use it for cosmetics. That's the end. We accept that. Obviously. That which is suitable for animal consumption can certainly use for human cosmetic. Next question. Mine melugmios. What about stuff which is, in and of itself, bandage material? That's the only normal usage it has. Mine melugmios malasos man tzvoin laws. We can use them for cosmetics. So again, v'lav kavachomer is in a kavachomer. The things that are suitable for human consumption, from which you cannot make you bandages, can't be used to make cosmetics, types of the food which in and of themselves their primary normal usage is bandages, which are used for bandages, you make for them cosmetics for humans, and we accept that kavachomer too. That's true. That which is normally used for human bandage can be used also for human cosmetic. Lo tzurcha dila, you don't need this question, but rather only for dila is like a contraction, da ela. This question is only asked by ochle behema. And by ochle behema, maula sos mehem tzvoim lodim, can you use animal food to make animal bandages? Okay, in other words, if an animal has a wound, can you make an ointment or a salve from food, from stuff which otherwise would go for you, for food? K'mod dat armor, do I say that just like b'ochei adam, by stuff which is suitable for human consumption, she'enos himem, luk m'ladim, you cannot make a bandage for a person. Let me say that with the right inflection. K'mod dat armor, just like you said by ochei adam, buy stuff which is fit for human consumption. But you can't use it to make a bandage for a person. But nonetheless, you can use it to make a cosmetic. The kabbalah so too. Maybe I say ochle beima sheino simem lugma lebeima, that which is smooth for animal consumption, even though you cannot use it to make a bandage for an animal, not smooth savoyon, but we may lebeima. Maybe we can use it to make cosmetics for an animal. Says Mar, no. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said no, won't work. Mala ochle adam sheosimem savoyim lo adam. That which is suitable for human consumption, you can use to make cosmetics. Shkein tzivei adam yeshlem kedusha, because we find that cosmetics have kedusha. We found that earlier in the Masechta, stuff which is made for coloring skin or coloring any purpose for human being, not just cosmetic, but for any purpose of coloring human clothing and such like. So that has kedusha and shmita. Therefore, we can use that the food which is destined for an animal to make cosmetics. However, or even food which is destined for a human being, we can use to make cosmetics. However, nasemi ochle behemoth, savoin le behemoth, do you want to make from that which is animal fodder, animal coloring? You can't do that. The tzive behemoth enlem kedusha, that which is a plant which is natural usage is to color stuff which has to do with animals. It doesn't have kedusha shvias. The only thing which has kedusha shvias are ochel adam, ochel behemoth, and seva adam. Seva behemoth doesn't have kedusha shvias. So in that case, logic dictates that I have to say that you cannot take an ochel behemoth and turn it into a seva behemoth, because it takes something which has kedusha shvias inherently and turning it into something which doesn't have inherent kedusha shvias. That probably, in all probability, says Gemara, has got to be awesome. Okay. Now I don't think you have the header here, but I'll read you the header anyway. Nosim lov chumrei adam v'chumrei behemoth v'chulei. You place upon, if a person thought that something should be both human consumption and animal fodder, you give it the chumas of both. Neither chumrei adam. I understand all the chumas of ochel adam, that it has to go for persons eating or for something else, but not to go for bandages. But chumrei behema, what chumra is that if you consider it to be ochel behema? But ochel behema just gives kulas. What chumra does ochel behema possibly give? Right? If you consider something ochel behema as addition to ochel adam, what possible chumra does that give? It says where there is one chumra. Shosu l'shokon. You're not allowed to cook them. Because animals don't eat their food cooked. They eat them raw. So therefore, normally if you have fruit which has kulas shvias, you can cook it before you eat it and eat it cooked, because that's considered to be the normal derech of using it. But by stuff which you intended to be simultaneously for human consumption, animal consumption, you can't cook it, because animals don't eat cooked food. So therefore, that's a case where being, the one case where being designated for animals is a chumra over being designated for human being. Tanya, we learned in the Braitha. Probably don't have a lot of what I'm about to read, but Ein tzorich lomar ha-mocher mocher lochen. This goes without saying. If I'm a seller and I sell you food as food, you buy the food as food, and then after you buy the food, you think, you know what, let me use it instead of food. I'll use it as firewood, right, in order to stoke my fire. By that time, the buyer has already bought it under the impression that it's food, and therefore can't lose its status as food, and now let's use it then as firewood. And even if the seller is selling for the point of selling his food, and the buyer is buying it as wood, the buyer cannot change the intent of the seller, which is to sell it as food, and retains its kedusha shvias. What about a case where what about the other case? Hamocher mocher leitim, if somebody sells for the purpose of the wood, but the buyer, and therefore doesn't have kedusha shvias, but the buyer buys it as food, and therefore the buyer wants to impart kedusha shvias. Does it get imparted or not? Says Mar Baman on Kema, what do we talk about? I'm bringing a little bit of Chashim Mishpat here. Ikshenos lamos b'chakach moshach. We talk about a case where the buyer paid, and then did Meshicha. So the Me'etim nasalom, when he paid for wood. and therefore the status of this stuff is determined to be wood, not to be fruit. First he acquired it and then gave money, so the me'ochlin nasan lo. So then in that case, he's giving him the money. He's giving the seller his money of food, right? Because by the time he paid for it, he already designated it as food, right? When he did Meshicha, he designated his food.
Except he did Meshicha on an object that wasn't his.
No, Meshicha kaina.
But the seller is not willing to give up his rights.
The seller doesn't care. What?
The seller doesn't give up his rights of ownership until he gets his money.
No. Meshicha kona we paskin.
Meshicha is a
kinyan
after the transfer.
No. I mean, it is, but here, when he gets the money, the sale went through. The Meshicha determined what it was. The Meshicha determined that it was going based on the buyer's opinion, which is that it's going to be Ocho. Meshicha's credit. We're going to get into that right now. We'll prove the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's really the same as Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Al daitid Rabbi Yochanan do Amar, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that he said, Hamos koning dvar Torah, that money is the king of the preferable king of the Raisa, and Mashiach is only king of the Rabbanan, Meyochli Nelson Lo. So then, when he paid him the money, he's already giving him that, he's already giving him the money of food, I skipped a line. No wonder that's right.
We have
I skipped a line. No, but that's not a problem. I skipped a line. So before that. Our shaya is like this. If you paid first and then Mashiach afterwards, what's the status in that case? And this is Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Aldaitid Rabbi Yochanan, Koy Rabbi Yochanan Du'omar, who says, Hamos konen divrei Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says money is a valid acquisition to Raisa. So therefore, if you paid money and then he did Meshicha, so the Meochim nasan lo. When he paid him the money, at that point it was still the Mochers. The Mochers sells him as food, so he's paying for food and it's a food transaction. It has the status of food. Al daitin Reish Lakish tomar eina maus konas divrei Torah. Who said that the money is not a valid acquisition, midrash, only midrabanan. So here in this case, well, even midrabanan it's not, but you got a mishapara. But here, where the money preceded the Meshicha, by the time at that time, the seller, or rather I should say the buyer, who intended to buy it for the purpose of food, doesn't yet have any rights over it. Am I right about this?
Why did
Mashiach
before he paid for it?
What?
No, he gave money first.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have rights because he doesn't have possession.
Right. No, but the money doesn't afford him any possession. Let's go again according to, over the case because I don't know if I got it right, if I said it over right. The type of case where first the guy paid, Lokech intends to sell it as wood. I mean, no, the Mocher. The mocher is selling as wood, and lokeach is buying as food. Okay, you gave the money before Meshicha. Kohen Rabbi Yochanan says most konos when he's giving the money, the buyer is giving the money. He sets the nature of the transaction. Okay, so therefore, if he says here's the money and I'm buying it as food, then his opinion rules wins the day. Kohen Reish Lakish who said most ainah konos. Giving the money doesn't give him any viable rights to set the nature of the transaction. So if the mocher says, I'm selling to you as wood, even though I'm accepting the money, that gives you no rights of ownership yet. And therefore, I determine the nature of the transaction, and therefore it's considered to be a transaction on wood, not a transaction on anything edible. Okay? So again, if you're most conscious of the Torah, so when the buyer gives the money, he can set the nature of the transaction. If you almost ain't going to speed the raisa, so that the seller sets the nature of the transaction, whether it's going to be food or whether it's going to be for the purpose of firewood. Correct. Question whether most is akin to raisa. Okay? Hamocher mocher leitu. What if the seller is selling for wood, and the buyer is buying for food, and neither of them is budget? Zemami, this guy was standing in place, Vizemami, and this guy standing in place, in other words, they're not willing to concede to each other the point. So, Yeva Kada, let's bring into this Yehiba, like the following case. The Tanya went to the Braisa in the end of Kiddushin. We came gridlock. A standstill.
Impasse.
Right, good word. SAT word. Okay. You came to an impasse. I say I want to buy for wood. You say you want to sell for food. And nobody agrees. Between the two of us, we don't agree to change.
There's been no transaction.
No transaction. Then the mocher comes and says, you know what, let's do the deal. Ima mocher tovei lokech, yasuk divrei lokech. So then if the mocher comes and says, let's make the transaction anyway, he's conceding to the buyer on the buyer's terms. It's probably a principle in secular law as well.
Well, actually, it's more comparable to the movie The Godfather. It has to do with who tells the other about a meeting. That's the bad guy. So he loses out.
Okay.
Does he make him an offer he can't refuse? Yes.
Ima lokech tovei lemocher. If the buyer says, you know what, let's do the deal, so then he asks the mocher, it goes on the mocher's terms. So here the call came. So too the same thing is here. Whoever says,
whoever blinks
first, right, and says, let's go through the deal, he's conceding to the other person's conditions. Okay, on we go. Next Mishnah. Shvis nitenes la'achila. Shvis can be eaten. Shtia. Drinking, drunk, sicha, it can be used to anoint oneself. Lechu davar shadak karkul lechu, you eat that which is normally eaten. Losuch, you anoint yourself with that which is normally davar shadak losuch. Lo yosuch, and therefore you can't anoint yourself with wine and with vinegar. Avol sachos neshem, you can anoint yourself with oil. Vechem betruma meiser sheni, so to this case with truma and meiser sheni, that they will have to be used for their intended purpose. Except, kamei of shvi shvis in one respect is lighter. Shenidla lakos in there, you can use it as fuel in order to light your candle. Says Gemara, I have a tanya here, but it's from a braisa. Ketzad lechol dover shadak lechol. What does it mean that you can eat that which is normally eaten? A mechayvin also lechol pasha ivsha. We don't make you eat a bread which has become moldy, even though it's shemitah bread. You're not compelled to eat it. Kula, which we make for you. You should say, well, thing if it's holy, you have to eat it. No, you don't have to eat it. Lokani vasirik, if you have had a lettuce and some of the leaves are bad, you don't have to eat the leaves which you cut off the head. Lotavshiriskagutsur also, nor if you have a dish sitting in your fridge for several weeks on end and it looks suspicious at the end, you don't have to eat it. Okay? However, works the other way too. V'chein hu, let's say the person wants to eat shu shebikesh lechol tchadin chai, want to eat raw beets. Alaku schitin chai, so eat a raw wheat. En shomilo, we don't let you do that. Because that's shaloka darko also. Because we're making on you that you don't have to eat stuff which is bad. We don't let you eat stuff which is good in a way which is not its normal way of being eaten. Beets are not good if they're not cooked. So do the same thing with raw wheat. So therefore, you can't eat it that way. Okay? Ketzad lishos davar shadak lishos. What does it mean? You drink that which is normally drunk. Em chayvus lishos anigron velo aksigron. We don't make you drink the water in which vegetables were cooked. Even though the chort has a taste of vegetables or shmita, water in which you cook fruits as well. We're not mechayiv because it's not normal derech to drink that.
What do you do with that water? Can it
throw it out?
Dispose of the regular.
You can dispose the regular way.
Because the other food. We're going to talk about that.
When we get to the next mission. L'yayim b'shmorav, nor do we make you drink the wine out of the dregs. Ha'choishes b'shinov. On the other hand, somebody who has a toothache, he can't gargle with vinegar and spit it out, which would normally be permitted, because that's, you know, denigrating the fresh meat, the fruit. He can gargle and swallow. And he can dip his bread in vinegar, even though his whole sole intent is for the purpose of the cure, and enochosh is not a problem. Let's worry about it. Hachoshish begrono, somebody who has a ache in his throat hurts. Loyar en b'shemen, he can't gargle with oil, because he's going to spit it out. Avanosu shemen habe tochanigam, but he can put a lot of oil into cooked vegetable juice and swallow it, and that's okay. Okay? Even though he's doing for the purpose of a fool, he's allowed to do that during Shemitah as well. Loyar sukhiyayim v'chomets v'chui. When it's not allowed to, I guess you don't have that header. You're not allowed to anoint yourself with wine or with vinegar, etc. Tani, we learned. Hachoshesh barosho, somebody who has a pain in his head to enter for something, or sholo b'chatan, he has some sort of itch. Sach shemini, he can anoint himself with oil. Avalo yasu can even come with wine and vinegar. Eim efadmin shemen shel shvi'is, one cannot improve the fragrance of the oil or vinegar by adding spices and herbs. You know why not? Why not? You can't add spices and herbs to the oil in order to enhance its fragrance.
Well, what are you doing with the oil eventually?
You're going to anoint it.
Because it's spices and herbs are in internal consumption. It's food.
No. Let's say it's spices and herbs and cooked flour. It still can't do it. Because they absorb the oil. So some of the oil gets lost. It's ma'abe perushmito. Okay, it causes them to get lost. But you can buy improved oil. Shemen Arev means, oil which is made very pleasant by adding all these herbs. You can't come from anybody. You don't be concerned that the seller mixed in forbidden, mixed in herbs or Shemitah. Now, that's all Rabbi Ami Sofer made. Rabbi Ami thought to say, you can even buy it under those circumstances from somebody who's suspect to take a mix. Amr Rabbi Yasi, no, Yasa. Amr El B'she'en O'Chosh. Any of doing O'Chosh, Nim Ein O'Chosh. Well, it's a person where you don't know whether he's suspicious or not. Hodover Bori Shu Chosh, but if you know he's a suspicious person, then it's probable that he mixed in the oil in a way that stuff got lost, right, because it got absorbed into herbs and spices, so that's prohibited to buy from that individual. Now, can you put in spices into wine of Shvius? Why should this be more mutter? Because even though some wine gets absorbed into the spices, but the spices enhance the taste of the wine, right? So therefore, perhaps since it makes the wine more enhanced and perhaps probably more expensive, so therefore we'd be matzur in this case because it's enhanced for Shvius. Right, that's Gemara's question. The Shmina Minato, it's learned from the following case. From the statement in our Mishnah, Kal Shmehen Shvius. Shvius is more lenient. Shenitna Lav Loka Saner. It's that you can use it in order to light candles. Hadamar Shemuta tells us that even though it's a type of usage which is less distinguished, because you're using it for oil instead of eating it, nonetheless it's permissible. So here too, we say it's permissible. Damar shum mutter. Right? You're allowed to use it. Also, you're allowed to use the oil, the wine in a way in which some of it will get lost in the herbs and spices which you put in. Says Amara about Tani. Also, did we learn another price that's forbidden to mix in the wine? With the mixing the wine with the herbs and spices, says Mar Rabbi Lasa to Rabbi Yehuda. That which he said, it's mutter like Rabbi Yehuda. He had none. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Matim Neshim Mashbicho. The Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said it's permitted to mix the wine with spices because it makes the spice the wine better. Comment Shmuz V'chui. Again, I'm sure you don't have this header. Shmita Shvius is less severe. Ask more Truna the Trumula Nidna Lakos Aner. What do you mean? It sounds like only Shemitah allowed to use the burn of the candle, not Truma. Why is that true? So says, well, yes, Trumat's man, you know, the law of Sanhedrin, use Trumat's man to light your candle. Avol, however, Tahara Loni, the law of Sanhedrin. Pure Truma cannot be used in for lighting a candle. Shvius, however, Shemitah oil, I feel Torah need in the Lava Center, even Torah Shemitah oil can be used to light your candle. Rabbi Chizkiah went for a to bathe. Yoiv Tzuchisa, he gave a bottle of Shemitah oil, Luzusime Ulaira, to Zusman, right? I always thought Zusman's a Yiddish name, but here it is. The Zusman, the bathhouse attendant. Armalese, he said, I will bring me the Shemitah oil, it's into the inner room so I can anoint myself with it. So Zusman was a shtickle Talmud Chochem here. Armalese, it's so awesome. He said, isn't this awesome? It's Shemitah oil, you can't bring it to the bathroom. That kind of Kedusha. So it was a posh Tayyid, it's probably not Maharet. But he understood Shemitah's got to have Kedusha. Asa shol Rabbi Yirmiya, so Rabbi Chizkiah went and asked Rabbi Yirmiya. Armalei, so he said, Tov Eimalei, come and say to him.
Come say to who? I guess. No,
here means come and tell Rabbi Chizkiah. Limantanu, you taught us, he didn't really, but he was saying like in a nice way. You taught us, you're not allowed, Taka, to use the oil of Shemitah in a bathhouse. You can put it on your skin outside, and then Nichnas go into the bathhouse with it on your skin already. Because then it's considered part and parcel of your skin. But you can't anoint it, spread it when you're in the bathhouse. Similarly, v'lo shem and sreifa, you can't take even truma tmeya, which you're just going to burn as fuel, you can't take it. Lo b'beis kisei, not into a bathroom, v'lo b'beis merchot, nor do a bathhouse, excuse me, m'nei bizarin kachim, because you are degrading kachim. Okay? And before we start the next mishnah, a very important chazonish. Chazonish says you're allowed to peel fruit during Shemitah, even apples, not just oranges. Even apples. The apple peeler edible, but that's derech min ha'adam. A lot of people peel apples. What you do is you store the apple peels, then it's somewhere until they become unsuitable for machal behema, and then you can throw them out. Until it's unsuitable for machal adam, and then you can throw it out, because then it loses kedusha shemitah. But as so it peels. They do in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, those who keep Shemitah, they do keep peels. They don't throw out peels in regular garbage because they still have Kedusha Shemitah. Even orange peels, I believe, because orange peels are Machal Behema. They are used for Machal Behema. So if they store the peels somewhere special until they go bad, and then they throw them out. Okay, because then they lose the Kedusha Shemitah.
Well, they had special garbage
cans. Were you in Israel during Shemitah?
Yeah.
So you saw that, right? The special garbage cans.
Special garbage cans.
Yeah.
I mean, all the food stuff, so the garbage, you know,
right.
was collected.
No. Nothing. No. Only Chalmoy. 7:30 Chalmoy. Ashrecha v'toivloch. Okay.
Now, what about regular Shemitah food, which Kedusha Shvi'is, can you take that into the bathroom?
What?
You
regular food?
Regular Shemitah food.
No, same to the Kavachomer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is even oil. Even this is, you know, this is anointing stuff.
So that's for me. You couldn't take anything into
any Shemitah food into the bathroom, right? Right.
Huh.
Okay, our bathrooms are not as disgusting as theirs, so maybe there would be more Malcolm to Mako, but no, surely one is Makbid. That's what it says here. Okay. One cannot sell Shemitah fruit, lo b'mida, not by measure, not by amount, v'lo b'mishkol, nor by weight, v'lo b'minyan, nor by counting. V'lo te'en b'minyan, even though figs are normally sold by weight, and you want to be mishan and sell them by measure, it's not enough of a shinui. V'lo yerek, and vegetables which are normally sold by count, you want to sell them by mishko, by weight, which is a shinui, it's not enough of a shinui. You have to sell specifically only by estimate, by approximate. Shamayim aflo agudos, you can't even sell shmita fruit in bundles. You make a shinui in how you bundle it. That which is normally bundled in the house, you bundle it instead in the marketplace. And our creations such as kress and netzach cholov and whatever this else is.
What's the reason for this? Because it's the meaning.
Lama! Kedeshim kru bezol, nor they should be sold for cheaper. Ask more of yishku belitravim kru bezol. So let's give a bargain per pound, you know, let's make it like a supermarket sale. No, there are two reasons. Imatomer kate, if you sold it by weight, also there's another issue. Afu eino noi boy and kedush, you don't realize that they're kodesh. So you're right. This is a way of reminding a person that this food is kodesh and also to make them affordable, because after all, the whole purpose of Shemitah, at least parts of it, was that aniyim should be able to get Shemitah fruit, and you're kind of defeating the purpose if you sell it at full price. Tani, we learned peres chutzlar shenichnasu la'aretz. Fruit from chutzlar which came into Eretz Yisrael because it becomes part of this gzeira. Lo yinim koin, they can't be sold lo v'mida, not by weight and count, not by amount, lo v'mishkol, nor by weight, lo minya, nor by counting. El kaperos aretz. Only like fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Ima yin yikari. However, let's say you knew it came chutz la'aretz, a chveis like a fruit which you don't normally have in Israel, star fruit. So then mutar, then you can sell by exact measure, right?
Now, is this halacha about?
Yeah. They don't sell by weight.
They don't in Eretz Yisrael?
No, if they do, then they have some heter of otzar based in, which I don't know exactly how it works yet. And I hope we're going to see something like that, which is that the seller is not selling. The seller is a shliach, it's like a mechiras chametz heter. He's a shliach, a basin. A basin selling it, a basin is allowed to sell, but me, though, it's only a private seller is now allowed to
sell.
But
when I recall in the makola, they sold it.
They come out with mechiras chametz type of term. Okay? Says Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Barbun, what's an example? Let's go in Ilan Kukosai, a certain type of vegetable, the Salkin Mizdamu, which is brought up and is sold, means susita from a susita, which is exempt from Shemitah, with Tveria, and is sold in Tveria, so there they can sell by exact measure. And Chisub B'Shem Rabbi Abar Memo said, possession motive be Kapisha, person who was selling by the basketful, which was an estimate. But add the stimulus, not your social problem, it became exact enough after 2-3 times. In other words, after a while, you figured out exactly how much the basket holds. Also, one would want. He's not allowed to use the basket anymore. He has to discard the basket. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Also, Meymar Ovid Etzbach. A person says, I'll sell you by the basket, which is approximate up to this line where my finger is. That's also awesome because that's also measuring. Okay. Tabach Kohen Shismailo Bechor, a Kohen butcher. Perhaps have a bechor to sell. Mao mikte kupdin, can he cut the meat into cuts? Umizdabna go shuk and sell it in the marketplace. Or is the prohibition on selling bechor so strong that he can't even do that? Rabbi Yirmisavar may marshari minado. You don't want to say it's permissible from our Mishnah. And shadarku lego vayasogna sabashuk. That which is normally bundled in your house, you bundle in the marketplace. So here too, you can cut it and sell it in the marketplace. In other words, instead of cutting it at home and bringing the cuts, you just cut in the marketplace, and that's good enough. Ramona said, "Kol garma hi amra duaser." This entire thing tells us that it's forbidden. That it shouldn't look like you're making business off the body of the bechor itself. In other words, basically what we're saying is that by bechor, it's whether you cut it at home or cut it in the marketplace, it's not a sufficient shinui. Because you're selling it like a regular cut of meat. So therefore, that's never permitted. By bundling vegetables, there is a shinui. People generally bundle in the marketplace or bundle at home and bring the pre-cut packages into the marketplace. So therefore, the shinui there, it's not, you know, this doesn't look, there the shinui is significant. Here the shinui is insignificant. Where you cut the meat, it's still there. It makes a difference.
What if vegetables are sold by the bundle? Let's say a bundle of carrots or a head of lettuce.
You can't do that during Shemitah. That's what it says here.
You have to have a shinui.
Right. Ha'omer. The poet, somebody says to worker, Helch Isser Zeh, take this coin, Lukotli Yerakayom, and gather with it for me vegetables today. Schorom Mutter. It's, you're allowed, that's okay. It's good. You know, he's allowed to accept his wages. L'kod li bo, Yerakai, we said, bo, in it. In other words, I want you for this coin to collect me vegetables, and it's schar oser. Why? Because that looks much more like a sale. So then the schar gets like making, selling perishmis, because I say, for this coin. That specification makes it more prohibitive. So to lokach min anachtom kikor rabunyon, I bought from a baker a loaf for a dollar. Loaf which is worth a dollar. I didn't pay him a dollar. And I said to the baker, you know what, when I gather some vegetables from the field, I'll bring them to you mutter, because it doesn't look like an exact, like a sale. Lokach min ustam. However, you took it in without saying anything. You can't pay him from Shemitah money. You cannot pay back a debt with Shemitah money, because again, it's making business with Shemitah money. Okay, I have a header here, Schar Mutter, his wage is permissible. Mabin Omer Lakoli, ask the Gemara, what's going on here? That there's a difference between when I tell you collect for me, Mabin Omer Lakoli, bo, collect for me for the dollar. So Rabbi Yad Mishem Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chanina said, Meyucho She'imu He. Imu means unclear or blurry. So the way the Kavanaki explains me, he says it means that this is one of the unclear halachs. In other words, look at one of these random distinctions which Chazal made, arbitrary distinctions, for a better term. These arbitrary distinctions Chazal made, which really has no basis. Okay? This arbitrary distinction, there's really no basis to it, and it's hard to understand what's different whether you said bow or not. That's the way he explains it, but I have a much better shot. My pshat is like this. Halach Shulim says that he said that certain halachas which Chazal said are contingent on there being a certain vague or ill-defined
amorphous
quality. Why is that because in that case we say that people can by people, this doesn't look exactly like a sale. If I say the word bow, it looks much more precisely like a sale. If I don't say the word bow, it's true, it's the same thing happening, but it's a more amorphous or ambiguous type of case, and therefore Chazal said it's not so good for halach. And we have several halachs like that now in a series. Okay, and Tama Tzninan, we learned over there, Lo Yomar Odom L'Chaveiro, person should not sell to the Seder's friend, house a pear sold to Yerushalayim, take these fruits up to Yerushalayim, the Chalek, and we'll divide them up. Now this is Meiser Sheni fruit. You're also not allowed to make business with Meiser Sheni fruit. So you can't say that. Elom Elohalim Shenocha B'Yerushalayim, take them up, we'll eat Yerushalayim, and Nisha B'Yerushalayim, and drink them Yerushalayim. Again, here the Gemara asks, and I don't know if you have this in the Gemara, right? This next line, but Ma Ben Omer L'Chalek, do you have this line? The one is asking the same question. What's the difference between whether you say l'chalek, we'll divide them up, ma'bin oimer na'alem, or just say let's take them up, shenochem l'ishtem b'shlem? What's the difference? There's no qualitative difference. As Mark again, Rabbi Zeb Sharon B'Yerneson, me'halocha shel imum hi. When you say l'chalek, it means let's make a partnership in this route. That's forbidden in Meister Shani. When you don't use the word l'chalek, it doesn't look like a partnership, and therefore it's okay. Similarly, Talmud, we looked over there. Shoyl Odom Michavero Kadayim Vikade Shemin. A person can borrow from his friend. This is on Shabbos. A person can borrow from his friend barrels of wine and barrels of oil. Vachloim Elovein, as long as he doesn't say, lend them to me. Because if it's a loan, so then you might come to write it down. It's a gzera that you might come to write it down. Mabin Omer Alveni, what's the image where they say lend to me, Mabin Omer Ashulani? Or if you just say, well, in English there is no good different translation. But Hebrew, Hava is lend them to me in the monetary sense, Ashulani is lend them to me in the
give sense.
Right. Right, so what's the difference? Again, it seems to be no qualitative distinction. Again, another case where Chazal felt that ambiguity is a poor fundamental precept in this halacha. Okay, the final example is a little bit more elaborate. Piton. Pasaku. The bread of a goy. Rabbi Yaakov Baruch Shem Yerushalayim said, Od him yeh halacha shimu. This is also one of the halachas where ambiguity was essential. Rabbi Yisrael said, Kashyasi kumi Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. I asked Rabbi Yaakov in front of Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Where is the ambiguity here? Kach anu omrim. Do we say like this? B'makom shepas Yisrael metzuya, in a place where there is prevalent kosher bread or Jewish baked bread, bidinu shetei pasha goyim asura. Logic would dictate that non-Jewish baked bread is prohibited. Vimu mu olevi tiran. They made it ambiguous, and they were matir even the non-Jewish bread. Or it's the opposite. Of a makom she'ain't pas Yisrael metzuya, or in a case where the Jewish bread is not prevalent, b'dinu she'tei pas shel goyim muteres, logic would dictate that the bread of a goy should be permitted. V'imamuol, and they made it ambiguous, and asrua, they forbade it. Which one is it? Rabbi Mona said, v'yesh tcha imum le'esor? Do we have a case where they made it ambiguous in order to make it usher? They made things ambiguous. Ambiguity was a hat there. Right? Ambiguity is never an itzer. Right? Ambiguity or amorphous quality means we blur the prohibition. Now we make it a blur the permissibility. Furthermore, he says, upas lo ketav shilei goyim. I don't understand. How do you want to say that they ossered bread of a goy, even where there isn't much
there's no availability of...
Yeah, let me just make sure I get it right.
Yeah, it's a separate thing. He's saying, how can you say they permitted it at all? Isn't the bread of a goy like goyish cooking? Bishulakum? And kach normally, do we say such a thing? Where there aren't Jewish cooked dishes prevalent, do we say such a thing that really this should be matir tavshili goyim? Vimum aleim v'asurim, and nonetheless they made it ambiguous in the aseret. Whereas by bishulakum, we never had such a parallel. Bishulakum is bishulakum, no matter whether there's prevalent Jewish stuff or not prevalent Jewish stuff. They didn't make any distinctions, not originally, and they didn't make it ambiguous. So what's the difference by this bread stuff? I don't know what's going on here. Elokeini says more. This is it. B'makom she'ein pas Yisrael metzuya. In a case where Jewish bread is not prevalent, b'dinu she'tei pas shel goyim asur. Just like bishulakum remains asur whether there's prevalent or not, so to pas shel lakum should be asur, but it's not. But rather, v'yimu olev b'yitura, that made it ambiguous, and they were matirit. Rabbanan the case sorin b'shem Rabbi Yaakov Rachos so followed k'divrei mishum matir they were matir pasakum where pasis roth not prevalent uvay min apalter but only from a baker not from a private individual because hog there pasakos you might come to marry goyim so if you buy from a private individual then you might come to socialize with them and mingle with them but if you buy from a baker there's less of a chashash less of a you know. Possibility. The law didn't care. Rabban the case started themselves, even though they were matir, did not follow their own kula. They're not like an eruv. They're matir for other people, but not for themselves. Okay.
So, the pasak was kosher. Mm-hmm. It was just baked by a goy.
Absolutely.
Here's
the right. Because pas pal. Right. That's basically what it boils down to. Okay. Hashem and Loki Shomer. V'marlos akelach. You know, in our mission, it said where you didn't say bow for the dollar, that's permissible for the Jew to go and collect from you. That's only if you show him the stock you want him to collect. Shein el kanosin lo schar rav, because then all you're doing is giving him the schar for his walking there. You're not buying the vegetable from him. It makes him more like you're paying him for the work as opposed to the vegetable, because you're showing him which vegetable to collect. So he's not even looking for the vegetable.
Find the box instead of what's inside.
Right. Rabbi Yochum, low, even if he didn't show much vegetable, it's key, collect, as if you showed him the vegetable, and therefore it's permissible. You don't have to actually show him the vegetable. Now, the gears, we're going to go to the Mishnah and stop, but the gears to the Mishnah is messed up. Okay, well, not all the way, but most of the gears. Okay, so pay attention here. I'm going to read you like the gears of the Grah. Okay, probably the Red Boz brings it down, but Matnisa Pliga Al Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, not Reish Lakish on Rabbi Yochanan. The following Mishnah argues on Rabbi Yochanan. The time we learned somebody who hires a worker to bring wine for a sick person, or tapuach, or an apple for a sick person, if the worker brought the apple, you have to reimburse him for it. If he didn't bring the apple, you don't have to reimburse him for the apple, right? But if he said, to worker, bring wine to the sick person from New York, or bring him an apple from New York, and the worker went to New York to get the apple, whether he brought the apple or not, you have to pay the worker, right? Because you didn't just ask him bring me an apple. He said, bring me the apple from place X.
But the purpose of going to New York was to get...
That doesn't matter, but the fact is I told him to go to New York. So that's why I have to pay him for the work he did. He wasn't a contractor in that case. When he gets the apple, I'll pay him. In his case, he's actually my agent, right? Shesacha raglovu nosinlo. You pay him for the fact that he traveled. Now, this is a kash Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, even if he didn't tell him where to go, even if he didn't tell him to take that vegetable, it's as if he told him to take that vegetable. So here too, even though you didn't tell him to go to New York, it's as if you told him to go to New York, right? Even in the case where you didn't tell him to go to New York, it should be as if you told him to go to New York, you should have to pay him regardless, right? This is more, it's not comparable. This is more, you know why? Kali Caleb here, this is from the later Teretz, they brought it in over here in the Gra. Kali Caleb Shvia Shumid Rabbanan. There will be there in the Gemara out of order, and it should be here. There's a special kula by Shemitah. Here Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, kula. He's saying, I give you a special kula, because by Shemitah, the Bizman is there, it's only the Rabbanan. So therefore, doing Schir and Shemitah fruit is only the Rabbanan. So I'll give you a kula, even if he didn't show the guy where to go, it's as if he told him where to go. But I'm not going to make that a chumrah, that even if he didn't tell the guy to go to New York to get the fruit, it's as if he told him to go to New York to get the fruit, and therefore you have to pay him. To that extent, Rabbi Yochanan would never have said it as halacha. He did not say it as halacha. Now, on Reish Lakish. The following price of Masnisa, Poligal Reish Lakish, Reish Shimon Lakish. The Tani, we learned, Lo Yomar Adon Chavero. A person should not say to his friend, hey, look, here's a dollar. Vahavi Li Lekatayom. This is a rich guy. You can't say to a poor guy, here's a dollar and bring me all the lekat you get today. Because that really means that the ani is working for the usher. So that's not permitted, right? He's collecting leket for the rich guy. That's prohibited, right? Haveli peayom, or bring me peya today. Ela oimer lo, rather you can say to him, the leket shetaveli ayom, for the leket which you bring me today, or the peya shetaveli ayom, or for the peya you bring me today, here's the dollar. But not, here's the dollar for the leket you'll bring me, right? Here's the dollar, go bring me leket. Here's the dollar, go bring me peya. Rather, for the pay you'll bring me today, I'll give you a dollar. For the leg you give me today, I'll bring you a dollar. So that's a kasha on a v'chena motzim ben levi. Send it to by a levi with meiser. Vare el or alo is a kasha, because here he even says, for the pay you're giving me to, you're going to bring me today. Vare lo, I'm sorry. Vare lo er alo. In this case, he didn't show him and say, give me that pay. He just said, the pay you bring me pay. And nonetheless, we say it's as if you made him your agent, and you're forbidden to take the pay from him. So it's kasher shlokish. It's very shlokish. Said, when is it defined as agency? When I show him, only when I show him exactly, go get that for me. And you didn't say that. So it's kasher shlokish. Very low, era low. He didn't show him exactly. Nonetheless, it's said to be agency. Says more. Ma'avlei reshim lokish has reshlokish reconciles brisa. He says, and here it's from before, brought it now. Pasar lo b'mara lo. It's talking about a case where I said, get me that payo, that leket in that field. And that's why it's also, because then the oni mamish becomes the agent of the usher, and that's prohibited. Okay, going further, I have a header here, because it's a new topic. Lokach mina nachtom kikar v'chule. Tanya, we learned, Rabbi Yehuda Rami Nechemi Osrit. Rabbi Yehuda Rami Nechemi forbid, v'chachoy matir and chomir permit. V'manachem, what are we talking about? Iba Udamar Le, if it's a case where the baker said, Halach Kikar, here's a loaf. Havli and pay me for it. Tiber calls in that case, of course, the buyer can't go out, collect vegetables, promise the vegetables, go collect and bring the vegetables of Shemitah to pay for the loaf, because that's like paying for Shemitah fruit, right? Paying with Shemitah fruit. You're using that as currency in that case. Because the vegetables are being used to pay for the Shemitah. Havli v'ana yav loch. What if, however, the buyer said, the baker said, give me vegetables and I'll give you bread. Divrei kol mutter. In that case, it's okay. Why? Because there it's barter. And barter is mutter. It's only where the baker says, here's bread, and pay me for it, and the buyer says, you know how I'll pay you? I'll go and get you vegetables. Then it's not barter. The vegetables become the currency. But in a pure barter, that's permitted during Shemitah. El-Kenanukayim, so that's not an issue. Both of those cases are clear-cut. El-Kenanukayim, where's the machlokas? Behud Amarli Havli, one guy says, give me, the buyer says, give me bread. Ubarli Dani Avloch, and for sure, I'll give you vegetables. They say it's also Shady Rokos Sodom Mitzuyim, because vegetables are not so prevalent, you might end up paying him money. So it's not really barter.
This is a replacement for tape number 97, the end of the tape, which is missing. The Mishnah said that lochach mina nachdom, if you take from the baker kikar bepundion, a kikar which is worth the value of a pundion, and you say shelko diroko sade avilacha, and you say when I gather the vegetables of the field, I will bring you. That's not a language of a mecher. That's a language of a matana. So it's a language of a matana. So it's not a problem with osis chara peyushvius. So the Mishnah, the Brice here says, I'm sorry, the Mar here says, in the end of Alocha Dalit, Lachim and Anachdom Kikar Vachule, Tani, Rabbi Rabbi Nechemi Osrim, Vachomi Matirim. Rabbi Nechemi say that even Shalkot Yerako Soda Avilach is forbidden, whereas Rabbi Chachomi are the ones who are Matir. So we want to ask about Menachayam, we want to talk about Iba Hidamar Loi. If we talk about a case where the fellow said, hey, Lach, here's a loaf of bread, Havli, pay me, give me as a reward, this vegetable as a payment, the Verkol Oser. It's forbidden in that case. Everybody agrees it's forbidden the problems in vegetables. If he says, Havli, give me vegetables, Vana Yoyev Loch, and then I'll give you the bread, the Verkol Mutter. That's okay because it's Tmura, a exchange is permissible. Rather, the question is in the following case. Buda Marle, the person said to the baker, Havli, give me bread, Uvorili, the Ana Yoyev Loch. And it is literally clear to me, an undertaking, which I undertake, that I will give you the vegetables. Rabbi Yehuda Rami Yechemi Osrim. Rabbi Yehuda Rami Yechemi said, forbid it, because they say the baker does not really anticipate getting the vegetables, since they're not so prevalent, but rather he is assuming, since the fellow said ubarili, that he's going to pay money if he doesn't find the vegetables. So it's like selling on credit, and it is forbidden. Rabbanan Savi Deshari, Rabbanan say it is permitted, Mibnei Shirokos Asodim Mitsuyen, and because we know that vegetables are prevalent, seems like a machlokas bin Mitzius, but that's the case, so Rabbanan hold the vegetables are prevalent, and therefore it's not a sale, it is an exchange, and exchange of Pirishvies, of course, is mutter.